Right now, the incredible shrinking vacation. We're in the dog days of summer, and many of you probably took your time off by now, or you might be enjoying the last few days of a break before work and school. But for more and more of us, there just doesn't seem to be enough time to take that break and get away from our cell phones, laptops, and Blackberries. In fact, many of us now take these devices with us when we go to the beach or to the mountains. And a poll by the Gallup Organization in May found that 43% of a national sampling had no summer vacation plans at all. So what did you do on your summer vacation? Did you stay connected with your laptop or your Blackberry? Did you have any fun? We'd also like to hear from you. If you still haven't been able to get a break, why not? The number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. Joe Robinson is the author of Work to Live, The Guide to Getting a Life. He joins us now from his home in Santa Monica, California. And Joe Robinson, why is it getting so hard for everybody to switch off?
Well, it's a little affliction that I call OCP, obsessive compulsive productivity. And we have it bad, as you mentioned. A lot of folks are not taking their vacations, and if they are, they're not really enjoying them because they think they have to be productive the whole time. So they're checking their email, and they're still having that connection with stressors back home. So they're not really accomplishing what they set out to do, which is to relax and play.
Well, the reason, I guess, people don't take time off is because they can't afford the time off. They've got to keep working, or that business that they've just started really needs their time, or, well, there's endless numbers of reasons for it. What are some of the consequences of it if we ignore it?
Well, the thing that people don't realize is the value of time off, and it really is medicine. Studies show that a simple annual vacation can cut the risk of heart attack in men by 32% and in women by 50%, and it could also cure burnout, the last stage of chronic stress, which is real hard to get rid of, but it takes 2 weeks for that process to occur. So since the average vacation these days tends to be a long weekend, people are not really getting the recuperative benefit. And of course, the other thing that it does is it allows us to get input. You know, we're in output mode 100% of the time these days, and without getting the input, our output gets stale. And also, the whole realm of input is where our real life is, you know, our family, our friends, our passions, which we rediscover when we're on a vacation.
So the essential element of a vacation, I think you're telling me, is, time to relax as opposed to maybe, a trip to Bora Bora.
Yeah, well, you know, we have the mistaken impression that we have to stay active continuously, even when we're not working. And it comes from the notion, you know, Americans create the self through labor. So as long as we're producing, we feel that, we're getting our self-worth and we're okay. When we step back from that, we start getting fidgety and antsy. We get that work guilt syndrome. So people have to understand that the stepping back part, the input, is as valuable as the output, or we wind up in stress mode or burnout, and you know, those things are epidemic these days.
Well, let's find out how epidemic they are amongst our listeners. 800-989-8255. Gabriel's on the line with us from Little Rock in Arkansas.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
I'm actually preparing to take a 10-day wilderness hike out in the Snowy Range in Wyoming.
Congratulations.
It's looking forward to it. I'm actually part of the United States Air Force, and the Department of Defense does a really good job of actually demanding you take your allotted 30 days of vacation every year.
But do they also demand that you take along a beeper in case of an emergency?
No. They have to have a means with which to contact you, so this will go through the Parks Service Ranger's office will be able to find me. But other than that, I'll be out there on my own.
So you're not taking your beeper, your cell phone, your BlackBerry, or your laptop?
No, and I certainly hope maybe that corner of the world doesn't have access, even if I could.
And how long are you going for?
It'll be a 5-day hike in and a 5-day hike out.
Not bad, Gabriel. Sounds like fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, have a great time.
Take care.
5 days in, 5 days out. That does not quite meet your 2-week quota there, Joe Robinson.
I think it's going to be pretty quiet, though. He might be able to make up for it on the solitude front. You know, what's interesting is that, the latest science shows us that increasing levels of performance do not equate with life satisfaction, and it's actually the quality of the experience of our lives, and that's something that Gabriel's going to be getting into that determines, whether we're happy and whether we feel our life is improving. So stepping back does work.
Now, have you been on vacation yet this summer?
Well, I went in a little bit before June. I went in March, April, and I went to Burma for 3.5 weeks.
Burma?
Yeah.
And 3.5 weeks?
Yeah.
Wow. You must be, you know, you must be a paragon of relaxation. Let's see if we can get a caller on the line. This is Catherine. Catherine's with us from Cincinnati.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, I can only put a different perspective on it. As a single parent of a high school student who's very active in high school athletics, I wound up spending my entire summer going to various sports camps and preparing for the upcoming season. And I don't think I was alone, judging by the level of competition that I observed at both the Ohio State and Notre Dame's camps. There are a lot of parents that are spending their vacation time trying to prepare for a better future for their kids in the upcoming season.
So you, a soccer mom doesn't begin to tell it for you.
Oh, honey, I'm a soccer mom, a football mom, a track mom. You name it, they do it.
Well, Joe Robinson, a lot of us, like Catherine, are trying to help our kids through, and it's a difficult 20 years when it's hard to take a vacation.
You know, if I had imagined anything on this level 10 years ago when my kids were just starting out in competitive sports, I wouldn't have believed it. I would have thought everybody was just overreacting. But by the time the camps are over, it's time for the regular season practices to begin. So I would say that my vacation consisted of a folding chair and a thermos of water and sitting in the shade watching them compete.
Well, I imagine chess camp is just as bad, if that's any consolation. But
I don't know, but it might be a little bit more relaxing. I'm not sure.
Joe Robinson, a lot of us sacrifice a great deal for our children.
Always.
That's true, and it's very difficult. Obviously, life is the speed up in life is so out of control now anyway, and then add to that the responsibilities of parenthood, and it does create certainly a big bottleneck there. But I think one of the things that is important for people to keep in mind is that we do need to set boundaries even on the overscheduling of our kids. And if we do plan our vacations well in advance and we understand that they are as valuable as any competitive sport or as our job, we tend to go ahead and actually follow through on that.
I just think, though, that my kids have missed a little bit of something, and that might be an August afternoon trying to find something to do. And right now everything is on a timeline and a schedule. And I can't help but feel that they're missing out, and I hope I'm making the right decisions. But they seem satisfied with it, so I'm optimistic.
Good luck, Catherine.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's get one last caller in. I think this is Steve. Steve is with us from St. Louis.
Hi.
Hi, Steve.
Well, my son and I, my dad and I never really went on vacations as a kid, and I decided years ago that I wanted to have a tradition with my son that we would do something, father-son kind of thing every year. So we go to Northwest Ontario. We go to Canada. It's about where we go. It's about 165 miles north of International Falls. And we go fishing up there, and there's no TVs. There's not even a radio station up there. And something that we do every year, and unless, you know, I told him, unless I'm, you know, on my deathbed, I will take him for as long as I'm alive, and he can go, I will take him every year. That's something that that we do, and I usually take my brother and some friends or my nephew along.
Well, Joe Robinson, we'll get on that shocking lack of a radio station issue right away. But in terms of the other thing, Steve's formula looks pretty good.
It sure does. Yeah, I mean the kinds of experiences that he's had, you know, with his kids. That's what you'll look back on in your later life, and not that extra 80-hour week that you pulled. It's really a question of priorities and understanding that. What's missing from our lives is the actual experience of living in a lot of cases, because we always default to work and busyness and not the aspect of our families and our passions and hobbies and so forth.
Steve, did you catch any fish?
Oh, we always catch lots of fish. You can't not catch fish up there. You know, this whole...
You haven't seen me fish.
we huge fish. I haven't seen you fish?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, I could take you up there, and I'll guarantee that you catch fish.
Well, we might put that to test, Steve, and I think you'd be in severe difficulties. But in any case, thanks very much for the call, and I hope you had a great time.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
And Joe Robinson, appreciate your time today, and good luck on your next vacation, whenever that may be.
All right. It was nice to be with you, and recess still rules.
Joe Robinson, a work-life consultant and author of Work to Live, The Guide to Getting a Life, and he joined us from Santa Monica in California. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.